So pretty exciting tonight. The family and I are going to see a John Mayer concert at Little Caesars Arena. Over the past 10 years, we've made a lot of great memories there. Of course, there was a lot of things promised when it was built, a lot of housing and retail that was going to be built up around it in the District Detroit. Some of those things have come. A lot of them haven't. Now we have this amazing Detroit Center for Innovation project, a $1.5 billion powerful partnership between Olympia Development and Stephen Russ and his companies. And it is well down the road to sealing up in the neighborhood of $800 million in incentives and public financing to make it all happen. But we've got a ways to go yet. We're bringing in the two principals today for you as we near that finish line. Keith Bradford is president of Olympia Development in the District Detroit. And Andrew Cantor is executive vice president of development of related companies, part of the Ross Group. Great to have you with us.
Thanks, Guy. Glad to be here.
So, Andrew, I want to get rid of the 800-pound gorilla in the room here, which is, and we heard it at council yesterday, this kind of age-old skepticism and almost resentment that, well, these guys are billionaires. Why should they need any help from a poor city like Detroit? Can you address that for me?
Sure. So, glad to, Guy. I think the question really is, what does it take to bring investment to the city of Detroit? And what we're talking about is a plan that puts private investment up front, puts it all at risk, and then if we're successful, there's a contribution on the back end from the public sector of a portion of the new tax revenues that are created. So we really are taking the risk. We are putting our money where our mouth is, and this is kind of a new version of a public-private partnership, I think, that really should address the concerns. But unfortunately, I think it's a complicated program. Not everyone's clear on that. And that information hasn't necessarily been heard by everybody or reached everybody at this point. So we're just really trying to get that message out and make sure that people understand how the structure works.
Well, and I got to tell you, I was one of the original reporters on this when I was at Channel 4, and it was when the District Detroit plan was rolled out. And we saw all the renderings, and I think it was 8 different districts and projects. And I think there was a perception problem, Keith, in that folks thought we were going to get all of that if we approved Little Caesars. And in fact, there were only certain elements of it. So help kind of get rid of this narrative out there that, gosh, we gave you all this stuff. You just built an arena. Now you're coming back and you're going to give us the rest of it, but you still want more from us.
Yeah, Guy, thanks for the question. And that is unfortunately is a misperception of the past. And, I'll try to make sure I lay it out sequentially. And, Chris painted a very bold vision back in 14 of what the District of Detroit could be. And I applaud him for being aggressive in that. I applaud him for wanting that for the city as part of what he's doing. And I would say what Andrew and I and our two companies are trying to do today is an evolution of that very vision coming forward. Now, a lot has happened since Chris stated that in 14, the arena being one of those, right? It's a part of that. But where people start to merge two things is the incentives associated with the arena were for the arena. And then from that, the arena was built, as well as, frankly, we were supposed to build $200 million additional in investment. And in fact, what happened was $1.4 billion of investment happened over that 5 years. And so a lot has happened.
Well, let's tell people, though, because I think they've missed some of these things. The Eddystone is being done. You built an office building there. There were other ancillary buildings that were part of that, and those promises were fulfilled.
Absolutely. Yeah, to the tune of $1.4 billion of investment, whether it's the Eddystone, 2715 Woodward, Little Caesars headquarters building, Google's office building, et cetera. There's a lot of development that has occurred.
You know, those things rolled out individually, and I don't think people got the idea that this was all part of the package. So, again, that helps to clear that misperception.
Great. Yes, that's absolutely correct.
So, I think Chris's marketing maybe was a little bit too good back in 2014.
Well, definitely got people excited. Yeah,
no question about it. And we should point out, Andrew, that this is, and I think ML Elric, I'm going to steal his line, this is, if you don't build it, the money doesn't come, right? I mean, you don't even need clawbacks here because you don't get the money, you don't incur the savings until you buy the materials and things like that.
That's exactly right. It starts with we have to buy the materials in order to have, you know, a reduction on the sales tax. And then we actually have to build the buildings, lease the buildings, and have people occupy them, generating new state tax revenue, which then a portion of it comes back to the projects. And so this is really about kind of building for the future, the money only being available if the projects are successful. And that's why, as I said, it's really about us taking the risk, not the public sector, and the public sector receiving the lion's share of the benefit from everything that we're building.
So in terms of this, we've heard the word transformational, and it's one of those buzzwords that may be overused. But as a guy who, I mean, I saw the original vision for District Detroit, and it was housing, and it was retail, and it was quite basic. The center of innovation is quite different, Keith. Explain to me how this kind of takes it in a different direction, in a maybe a more focused and transformational direction.
Yeah, great insights there. And I think there's no doubt the original vision was bold, but it was primarily focused on an entertainment district, right? Mm-hmm. And a neighborhood that come because of that. But the University of Michigan Center for Innovation is a complete new catalyst to the development. And we've seen this take place in other cities, you know, Cornell Tech, for example, and New York, a tremendous boost to the economy there. It's been around 7+ years, 70 plus businesses have spun out of that business. Mm-hmm. We see that in Northern Virginia with HQ2, with Amazon, more businesses wanting to be a part of that. And we see the same thing happening here. Businesses wanting to be associated with that innovation, new job creation out of that, incubator of new types of business, a complete new catalyst other than the tremendous sports entertainment that we already have.
I got to tell you, I'll admit to being a little bit hacked off yesterday upon learning that the city council president wants a 2% ticket surcharge as part of this in the Arena District, and that this decision was delayed perhaps so that could be considered. Is that a fair ask this late in the community benefits game, if you will, after you've already had your negotiations? And isn't that putting it on the backs of your customers, not the business?
Well, you know, I think, you know, the request there is maybe in some cases not fully understanding the economic benefit of Little Caesars Arena XL.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Where the incentives there were worked a little differently. There were some put up by the DDA and bond, et cetera. But the majority of the spend there on that arena was done by the Illich organization. And then all the benefits to the city come from the taxes associated with it, just similar to the way the incentives are working here. Right.
Mm-hmm.
The job creation, the tax, you know, the income taxes, both for people visiting, but also for those working there, as well as corporations moving in. And so it's a little bit different maybe in the comparisons to the Joe Louis Arena, where it was a complete concession agreement where we were paying to the city.
Yeah.
So that was, I think, a misunderstanding.
Well, I hope we can get it all ironed out. And how quickly could we see a shovel in the dirt and this thing ongoing? The engineering already started. When would it happen?
Yeah, so the design and engineering work is ongoing. We are in the permitting process, and we'd like to break ground on the first building this summer. So we have been targeting that, and at the same time, excitingly, the Center for Innovation is also, you know, the academic building the University of Michigan is leading is on track to break ground this year as well. So a lot of good activity that we have on track, and I think at this point it's really important that we continue to show progress and move through the process, because it is, you know, it's something that the investors and the lenders that we're working with on the project are watching, right? And
sure.
And have questions about. They may not have invested in Detroit or in Michigan before, and to the extent that it's a new market for them, which is a very positive thing
right.
In terms of bringing new capital. The, you know, being able to say, there's a community benefits process. We followed that process. We have a robust agreement with significant benefits for the community. And now that's completed, we're going to move through and be able to get our approvals is really important, right?
Well, and it's important because we're in a race to an economic future. We need the talent and we need the jobs and the next generation of businesses that this center of innovation will create. Keith Bradford, Andrew Cantor, thank you so much for your time. Best of luck, and hopefully we'll see some champagne popped here and some progress downtown Detroit.
Sure hope so. Sounds good. Thank you.
Terrific, guys.